Welcome back to another episode of CyberStar Talks podcast. I am Ayona. As always, I am so thrilled you're spending your precious time with me and my honored guest. Hey, podcasters, welcome to season two of CyberStar Talks show. It's my pleasure to welcome Glenn Kieran as my guest in this episode. Glenn is the founder and director of CyberQuan, a cybersecurity marketplace based in London, UK. Glenn started his early career in publishing at News Internationals with national newspapers, including the Sunday Times, before moving on to commercial B2B publications. Following a decade of working within all areas of publishing, he led the launch of a company's first contract publishing title, Viola, with a circulation in excess of £1 million, as well as launching a number of successful magazines. Over the past 15 years, Glenn has specialized in securing investment and buy-in for various new B2B initiatives, including the World Retail Congress, the Sunday Times, HR Business Network, the Digital 100, and more recently, Quan Cyber. In partnership with CAS Business School, he launched the think tank, Future Business Forum, which brought together business leaders to debate the future of work, but in particular, how the world will look in 10 years from now. This theme continued with the Ditchley Foundation to oversee the development and running of the Ditchley 100, which was a high-level network of innovative organizations and leaders from cybersecurity, technology, and government. During his time with Ditchley, he developed a deep understanding of the critical future challenges facing business leaders, which helped born out the idea for Quan Cyber. Glenn, it's my absolute pleasure to speak with you in this episode.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Glenn, what is the philosophy behind CyberQuan? What inspired you to create such a platform?
Well, Quan Cyber really came about from some work I was doing some years ago, working with the Ditchley Foundation, where we would bring together organizations sort of mainly from finance and technology to talk about how the world would look in 10 years from now. And one of the key things that came up was whenever you're looking at technology, you always have cybersecurity. And I worked a lot around cybersecurity companies and spoke to organizations about how they look at their cybersecurity. And one sort of thing that seemed glaringly obvious to me was, although cybersecurity is a really big issue and everybody knows that we need to do something, there were still a lot of organizations that probably weren't doing as much as they ought to do. But the big challenge I found was people didn't really know enough about cybersecurity. So what I wanted to do really was create Quan Cyber, which simplifies the language around cybersecurity and just makes it more accessible for organizations of all sizes to start thinking, actually, if we don't have cover, we need something. Or if we have legacy issues and we want to review who their suppliers are, we can find somebody who can help us with that. So really it was about cutting down the size of the market, a go compare, if you like, so that companies can go to Quan and give us their information and we can recommend which providers are best for them to use.
What is the main problem you resolve with Quan?
I think the main problem really is going to be that I think a lot of business leaders, when they're looking at cybersecurity, they don't necessarily know where to begin that search. And quite often, if they just do a search engine search around it, they may come across like 100 or so organizations that can help them. And what we do really is we filter that for them so that if people are using Quan, they'll get a short list of 10 organizations rather than the hundreds of options they'd find in a more sort of open search for a provider.
This is sort of a marketplace, right? If I get it correctly.
Yeah, exactly. If you imagine, lots of people, we all do it. We buy our car insurance, our house insurance, that sort of stuff, using online comparison websites. And why should it be any different for cybersecurity? When companies are looking for the best provider for them, why not have a marketplace platform to do that? So that's what we've done.
Today, many CISOs struggle with bridging the communication gap between their teams and C executives or other business partners. What are some of the key issues you've noticed in this realm?
That's a really great question, actually. And I talk to so many cybersecurity vendors. There's so many brilliant companies out there, but also talking to organizations. And one of the sort of key issues that comes up a lot is, that sort of language barrier, or as in the understanding between the C-suite and CISOs. And I think a lot of the time it comes down to, cyber attacks or incidents are, they're on the increase. Not necessarily all just maliciously, but it's more of a, as technology increases, and the more things we do, the more technology we use, therefore there are going to be more potential for incidents. And I think quite often it's the challenge is a CISO isn't going to be able to stop every single thing hitting a company. And I think it's the thing that comes up time and time again is maybe the expectation, I guess, from the C-suite that the CISO or the cyber team should be able to stop and prevent everything. That's not always the case. So I think an education, I think, between C-suite about cybersecurity is quite important. Just that sort of deeper understanding about what it really means.
Right. And I think on the other hand, we have this problem that cybersecurity folks are fluent in technical jargon, while the C-suite executives are more oriented into the business and risk language. And so to bridge this gap, CISOs need to become bilingual, right? Translating cybersecurity concerns into a potential business impact, essentially turning tech talk into risk and revenue talk.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think that's one of the big sort of issues. And that's one thing we want to cover really with Quone. So we want to look at, what is the business impact of a cyber incident within an organization? Yeah, so rather than that sort of technical language, it's things around, how does it actually impact your customers or your clients, or actually how does it impact the day-to-day running of your business? And there is a lot of obviously work around business continuity within cybersecurity, but it's really about how does that impact the bottom line of a business, or how does it impact your employees? Are employees going to end up with sort of going under stress because of a cyber incident? So it's kind of, if it's going to impact the bottom line, that's the sort of thing we want to talk about, just to really get the attention of the senior management team and help link, I guess, close that bridge or that gap between CISOs and C-suite.
Actually, the onus of adaptation often falls on the CISOs because cybersecurity is inherently complex and technical, which makes this field very difficult to be understood by other non-tech experts, so to say. However, the responsibility for bridging the gap isn't one-sided. So yes, CISOs need to adapt their communications to be more business-centric, but that's also a compelling case for business leaders to develop a better understanding of cybersecurity. And in my opinion, they should meet halfway.
Yeah, exactly that, and that's a topic that is coming up in many conversations that I'm having with both CISOs and business leaders. I have had conversations where senior business leaders have said, "I know that I need to know more. I don't know enough about cybersecurity, and I do need to look at it more closely." I think there's an absolute acceptance with senior business leaders that cyber is something that needs to be planned into the business, not something that you just react to. And I think maybe in the past there has been very much a reactive approach to cybersecurity, but
absolutely,
I think a lot of savvy business leaders are now sort of saying, you know what, we need to be much more proactive. We need to build it into the day-to-day function of the business. I think by doing that actually reduces the gap between CISOs and business leaders.
What's at stake when the lines of communication aren't clear in the realm of cybersecurity? And how does it affect the organization's security posture and its overall success?
Crikey, that's a big question, isn't it? I think, what's at stake? Ultimately, the sort of the business, in some incidents, and particularly within smaller organizations, if you do nothing and you get hit, then your business could be gone. And we've seen even with large organizations where know, if not enough is done and there is an incident, the impact is huge and sometimes catastrophic. So I think really doing nothing is probably not an option. And I think a lot of business leaders are starting to react more positively.
Yeah, spot on. Because it's not just inefficient, it's dangerous.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like you look at your house and it's, is the front door locked? Are your windows closed? You know, is exactly. Everything turned off? That sort of stuff. And I guess it's the prevention, isn't it? You know, you make sure that your place is nice and secure so that you're going to be far less attractive. You're not going to be that low-hanging fruit, which is often described as the most vulnerable end of any sort of cyber incident. And in terms of, you know, any competitive edge, if you're a business that, you know, has that cyber and security steps in place, that's good for your customers, it's good for your clients, it's good for your employees. So there has to be a lot of benefit to that.
Most of the business units inside an organization are focusing on growth and innovation, while cybersecurity professionals are the guardians. They are the ones thinking on how to grow business, and we're constantly telling them to consider risk and slow down. Does it sound like most of the organizations fail to integrate these diverse objectives of value creation and protection? Is this a business culture problem, or where is this coming from?
I thought that was a really interesting question. And my take on it would be that I think the CISOs and the cyber team, they are looking at the business. But I think what needs to be remembered or thought about really from the C-suite element is to a CISO or the cyber team, their customer is the senior management team, is the business. So that's who their customer is. So they are protecting their customer, doing the best for their customer to safeguard, you know, that business and everything else. To the business itself, their customers are external. You know, they are their other clients, their partners, their, you know, the general public, depending on the type of the business. So I think it's more around, you know, once you understand who the customer is and, you know, where their loyalties need to lie, and well, there's not going to be a direct jump from a CISO to end user. It's going to be, you know, the business, the objectives, that sort of protection, and the sort of end user clients externally are separate from that.
Do you think cybersecurity is now becoming a competitive advantage for organizations?
Yes, hugely. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at, I guess it ranges by sector, but, you know, if you look at finance or, you know, utilities, that those sort of sectors, you would always want to make sure that any organization that has information to your, you know, finances or data is hugely secure. And I think that was almost a given, you know, a few years ago. But I think even now, even other sectors, other organizations, it could be even things like buying something from a shop. These days, often, you know, you're asked to provide your information. That could be a telephone number, it could be your email address, whatever. And I think customers, you know, people, general public, we're all a lot more wary about our own privacy and our own data. And how that's managed and protected. And I think those organizations that show that they are doing that really well and they're building trust with their end users are the ones that will do well. I think any organization these days that is going to be a little bit more relaxed around that may struggle in the future to attract the customers that they want.
I think there is this general idea now that customers and business partners are more likely to engage with companies that demonstrate they can protect their data and privacy. As you said, they are, like, people are becoming more aware of cybersecurity and its impact. So I think this is a really good selling point for cybersecurity to not be seen as a cost center, but as a value creator.
Yes. Totally. And I think a few years ago when we were looking at the future of technology, the sort of key theme that came out time and time again was, you know, what are going to be the big things of the future? And privacy and trust were the two sort of key themes that kept on coming out. And I think, you know, that sort of needs to be demonstrated from all organizations that provide a service. It's important for their business, but obviously, you know, for any of their end users and customers.
Sometimes I think CISO's job just keeps getting harder and harder. The management expects them to identify all vulnerabilities in all information assets, which sometimes they don't even know due to shadow IT. And they are expected even to eliminate the risk. So it seems like there is no finish line for cybersecurity professionals. There's no winning. If things go wrong, they are the scapegoat. And if things go well, they barely receive any recognition because they're just doing their job, you know. So business leaders usually expect CISOs to predict the likelihood of a breach that hasn't even launched yet. And I see these problems in many organizations nowadays when I talk to my colleagues. Do you think it's now the time for organizations to be more realistic and redefine their expectations for CISOs, like setting softer targets that are proportionate to the organization risk appetite?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Yeah, I think, you know, crikey, CISOs are really under the cost at the moment. I think, you know, there's a huge expectation on them. I think in terms of softer targets, I'm not sure whether softer targets would be the right way to go necessarily, but definitely maybe a lot more sharing of, I guess, accountability. You know, it's not just the CISO's fault that an organization's going to be attacked. They're there to protect it, to you know, prevent things from happening. And as we know, you know, incidents and attacks and stuff are becoming so much more sophisticated. And as technology advances, there are more and more, and they're coming in faster and faster as that technology advances. So I think really it's about widening the understanding of cybersecurity. So I think it is about having that sort of, you know, channel across from the cyber team through to the C-suite team, where, you know, there is an acknowledgement of, okay, you know, we are doing the best we can. And it's about providing the right resources, having the right understanding. But yeah, I think CISOs are under it a lot at the moment, probably unfairly in many cases.
All right. And when I say softer targets, I actually mean CISOs should now be seen as a coach, as the person who is developing teams that can respond to threats, but also coordinates this mechanism across multiple, like cross-functional teams. This is not a one-man show, right? And yeah, it's about moving from this blame culture to a growth culture, where wins are measured not just by the resilience and response to challenges, but also by the absence of breaches. Because what does it mean when a breach is not occurring? Does it mean that this company has a good security posture? Or does it mean that they are not the target yet?
Well, I mean, that's again, an interesting point. I think if an organization isn't being affected yet, it you know, probably depends on what sort of systems they have in place to prevent that. Most organizations are going to have vulnerabilities somewhere. And I guess the key thing is reducing the number of vulnerabilities that you do have as an organization. And those that are able to keep that sort of count of vulnerabilities low are probably more likely to not really be experiencing those breaches as much. It sounds pretty straightforward, really, but it is a numbers game, isn't it? You know, about making sure that those doors are locked, the windows are shut, and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. Man, I enjoyed this conversation so much, and I believe our audience did too. Thank you for the insightful conversation, and I wish you the best of luck with Quon Cyber.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And thank you for taking the time, and thank you for inviting me onto the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to CyberStar Talks podcast. If you like what you heard, please follow us, leave a review, and tune in monthly for the upcoming episodes.